You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go right to the phones. We're going to have a new segment starting today that we hope we're going to kind of sprinkle in at different times during the next few weeks, because I think it's really important, and that's dog training. And joining us from Hideaway Kennels and also out of Rocky Mountain Roosters is Ben Garcia. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Terry. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing great. And you and I got the chance to talk a couple times prior to the segment, and I really love the things you had to say. And you pointed out some things to me that I hadn't thought about, and really I thought were pretty basic, but things that I never crossed my mind. But, you know, we got a lot of, well, first of all, outdoor people love dogs. Now, a lot of them do hunting dogs, which you do a lot of hunting dog training, but a lot of them just have a dog and they take it outdoors with them. Either way, you need proper training and obedience to make it a good relationship. But one of the things you mentioned to me is you got to have the teach the dog obedience, socialize with it and love it, because you're not just buying this dog to lock it up in a kennel. They really become part of the family too, don't they?
They really do. They really do. Especially this year with everybody being home more than ever, they truly become family members in a way we've never seen. So, which has been great.
Now, over the next few weeks when we have you on, I want to talk about some specific times and techniques for training dogs in different situations. But let's just start out today saying that I want to get a dog now. Maybe it's a hunting dog. Maybe it's just my companion. But how do I start?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like we always tell people, the main thing is first put a plan together of what you want to hunt or what your activities are going to be. You know, that's the bigger thing because, you know, here in Colorado in the West, we all hunt, we all hike, we all camp, we fish. And those are things to identify first of which breed do I want that's going to fit our lifestyle and then what we do on a daily basis or weekend basis when we're all out playing, you know.
So you want to research the different breeds and find out maybe what fits into your lifestyle size-wise and aptitude-wise, because they are different. You want to do some research. You told me another thing right now is make sure you have access to a vet. That's not the easiest thing right now, you said.
It's not. I mean, this year we've seen more people purchasing dogs and even to get into a vet appointment at some vets. You know, you're out 3 or 4 weeks, so you really want to plan together from when you decide the breed you want, decide the breeder you want, and finding a vet that fits what you want, you know, and particularly if you can find a vet that hunts or that is active outside, that's even a better deal for you because let's face it, you may have an injury that's not related just hiking down a hill if you're out hunting or if you're out, you know, swimming a dog. There may be injuries that are relevant to hunting that a vet that hunts is really going to help you through that if they've seen it before.
So. Now, I go out and I get all this done, I get my puppy, and you and I agree on one thing, and that's if you're going to hunt, stay ready to hunt, don't just get ready to hunt, and that's true of the dog. If you have an older dog that's trained, you should be doing things with it year-round, and we'll cover more of that as we get into this further into the next weeks. But one of the things you told me is you don't really start seeing the dogs for you to train until after the first 6 weeks, is that right?
Yeah, well, we really like to get them in when they're 5 months old is when we like to get them in for training. And we like that time before then to be with the owner, you know, doing obedience with the dog, spending time with it, socializing it, getting to know it, you know, getting to bond with the family, working on your crate training, working on all those fundamental values that a dog needs to be an active family member for sure.
Now, is there anything like online or anything that can help me with those first, say, weeks or months before I come to a trainer? And when am I going to know the dog is ready to go? What should I, is there resources online?
There are, there's a, right now we're all really lucky. There's a lot of really good trainers, a lot of really good research going on of when to work dogs, what to work on at what age, irrelevant if you're hunting or if you're going to hunt. You know, there's some really good resources, and if somebody wanted to ever reach out to us, they're more than welcome to, and we can provide them that. But a really good time on as far as clicker training, obedience training, treat training. There's a lot of good research going into that right now of what to do with dogs to get their brain activity working and stimulate that brain, just like a child learning to read. You know, you want to start off with something super simple, like, you know, you want to start off with a word, you know, then go to a letter and then go to a sentence and then a paragraph and a page. There's a lot of really good online training models right now for following that for little guys and little pups to do well as they succeed. So
Now, if you want to reach out to Ben and Hideaway Kennels, on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, I do have a link to his website. You just have to scroll down, and we'll get Ben's contact information before we let him go. So I have this dog. I'm working at home. I'm going to bring him to you. Before we get to what I need to be doing and some mistakes, what are you I'm bringing him to you. What are my? What should my expectations be? Are you going to keep the dog for a while? And what kind of training am I coming to you for?
Yeah, so we have a 6-week puppy program that's really fun. It's a great time for us with the dogs and a great time for the dogs. And what we're looking for is basically the 4 or 5 basic commands the dog knows coming in, you know, which if it's a lab or retriever breed, maybe sit, stay. If it's a pointing breed, it may be whoa, some basic leash work and, you know, for heel and here and some obedience work that's good for them to know to move with somebody. But their time with us is working on some basic obedience and a lot of birds. And that's just where I get so excited with dogs and working with them is when we get them on those birds and you get to see that light in their eye. And bringing out those genetics they have in them to want to be on birds, it's pure addictive. In my case, that's just really what I enjoy watching dogs at that age do, because you're just seeing everything they have in them, and then that creates a lifetime of memories for those owners when they're out the next year banging birds over their dogs and chasing birds. It's just a blast for all of us to see. So
Now, later on, when we bring you back, we're going to get into some more details, different kinds of training and how you maintain the dog, maybe food and things like that. But you were talking about mistakes to me with puppies. You said one of the biggest mistakes is putting puppies with older dogs.
Right. Yeah, we have seen that before where everybody thinks, you know, this is great. I've got my buddy's got an old hunting dog. I've got a little puppy. And let's get them together because they're going to spend their life together. And that's really not a good thing. You know, we've had people do it where it's in a house and a puppy gets bit because the older dog's irritated and has warmed them and the puppy keeps coming after him because the last adult dog that puppy's seen has been its mom. So it's thinking, hey, everybody's got food for me. Everything's going to nurture me. And then an older dog does not want to be around that at all, regardless if it's a male or female. So you're really putting both dogs in an unfair situation. So we always suggest, you know, if you have a little puppy and you have an older dog and you want to introduce them, do it in your backyard, do it in a big field, keep them both leashed, give them space, and let them get to know each other, saying hi, but control the situation so you don't have an accident or a dog biting another dog, or even we've had other bigger dogs run in and hit a puppy and cause an injury then. And really, if you think about it, Terry, you know, you're imprinting on that dog. That puppy, when it's around bigger dogs, somebody's going to hit them or roll them and hurt them, and you've created fear and something that should be positive, which are both dogs being out, learning to be friends together, and because they become hunting buddies just like me and you would if we're going out hunting every weekend. So you really want to try to make it positive and not cause something negative to happen in there.
You know, a couple other things you shared with me, and these were the ones that kind of surprised me, and one was some things you want to stay away from. One was don't teach a pointer to sit.
Right. There's a lot of thought in that and a lot of study into it. And the idea is when you're working dogs on a lead, you know, you pull up and you're cueing that muscle. Let's say like the whoa command, you know, you're pulling up on the collar and it's putting pressure on the dog's side of the neck to say whoa. And you're teaching the muscle memory of pressure on your neck teaches them to whoa. And if you teach sit to a pointer and you're working that, and every time you pull up on the lead and they sit, well, when they go on point later in life and they go to take a step and you go to stop them with the lead, they're just going to cue off of what you've already taught them is to sit. So, you know, some people with pointers, and you know, Terry, me and you did talk about this, you know, there are guys with pointers and owners with pointers that duck hunt, pheasant hunt, you know, and they want them to learn both. You just want to make sure you're teaching both commands if you have a pointing breed. So if you do teach sit, make sure you're teaching whoa. You know, make sure the dog knows those behaviors. But I always think, you know, if you're not a duck hunter and you're a pheasant hunter or a quail hunter, just teach whoa. I mean, it's going to be the majority of the command you teach that dog later in life anyways, and it's going to be relevant to everything. And you're just going to avoid some problems later in life. And there's always the person who's trained their dog that can say, well, I taught my dog to sit and it never did that. And that's great. But the ones that learn it and all they want to do is sit on point, it's really hard to work through on a young dog because they're thinking they're making you happy, you know, where they smell the bird and they sit because they think, hey, this is I've sat down and somebody's given me a treat. I found the bird for my owner. Now I'm sitting down. Where's my treat? So it can come back to haunt. You just want to make sure you're talking to your trainer on what the goal is for the dog, you know, down the road. So then you make sure you're not conflicting commands later.
One of the things, another thing you told me was teaching too many commands is a common mistake.
Right. It is. You know, they, you know, when you talk about dog training, typically most trainers want your dogs to have four or five commands. And, you know, I was sharing with you, Terry, one time I had an owner out and we're working their dog. And I just asked him, I said, how many commands do you think you have for this dog? And he said, I think I have six, you know, and I had counted during when he was showing me his dog, and he had over 42 commands for his puppy, you know, and this is a 4-month-old dog that can't comprehend any of those commands, and you're doing more damage. So just pick four, you know, that are relevant to what you're going to be doing to your dog. And it really will help all of you in your family. And that's a tip we give people too. Like, once you pick your four or five commands, print them out and put them on the fridge, so everybody in your house is using the same command. You know, if you're making the dog whoa before he goes outside to go to the bathroom, make sure everybody's saying whoa in a way that works for the dog to follow that command. If it's sit before they go outside or sit before they get a treat, you want everybody on the same page and speaking the same language to that dog, because they'll memorize rhythmic patterns in the voice command. So, you know, so sit has a pattern of speech that they're recognizing. So that's why you want to make sure everybody's saying it the same way, not like sit, sit. You know, everybody's saying sit. And so that's generally where you really help your dog succeed later in life.
You know, we're going to run out of time here, but one thing you told me when we were talking that I never thought about was don't play tug of war with a bird dog. That's, you know, it's so, it makes such sense, but I never thought of it.
Right. It's a bad mistake we do. Even with dogs, you know, we want someone to interact with them and play tug of war. And they just learn through a pattern of behavior of, hey, every time, you know, my owner gets them in their hand, we play tug of war. And then you shoot that big rooster. Your opening day, you're out there with your dog you've done all this work on, and you shoot a big rooster and you ask him to give it back to you, and he tears the head off and is playing tug of war with you, and you caused it. You know, that's something you really don't want. You know, you want them, their job is to find the game for you, to retrieve it and bring it back, and you pet them up and love them and tell them they're a good dog. Not to have this back and forth fight of who's dominant over who and whose game it is. And that really goes back to that tug of war game, Terry, that you really don't want to play with them when they're puppies. So
we are out of time, Ben, but just tremendous information. I can't wait to get you back on, and we're going to do this on some kind of a semi-regular basis. I have to look out at the schedule because I know we have the NFL draft coming up too, but we definitely want to get you back on. In the meantime, if people want to talk to you, how do they get a hold of you?
The best way is to email us through the webpage, which is hideawaykennels.com. As you can imagine, most of our time spent out in the field, not maintaining a phone. So it's easier for us to get back between breaks of loading up dogs on email. So it really works good for us to email us through the webpage, and we're happy to chat with you. Or if you have needed some advice, we're happy to give folks that advice also.
All right, Ben, great segment. Looking forward to having you back on again. You and I will talk in the next week or two and get some things scheduled. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Ben Garcia, Hideaway Kennel. He's going to be a great contributor, folks. He's a wealth of information. He loves the dogs. His website, Hideaway Kennels, there is a link on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. You just got to scroll down a couple. It's right there. You can just click on it. And, you know, it fits so well in the show because outdoor people love dogs. We got JR impatiently waiting on the phone, so we got to get to him. But, you know, when we get JR on, he's going to also talk about bringing your dogs out to Colorado Clays, getting them used to the shot noise. We got so much more to talk about here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear and 104.3 The Fan.